Father, you've called you through your Spirit. You've asked us, you've called us to be here today, and here we are, asking that you would now forgive us and draw us close to you, to your Son. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting to see how things play out in a troubled world. On the news yesterday was footage of a meteorite crashing into a Russian community. I don't know if you had a chance to see that. It was a brilliant display of universal power. It's this interplanetary rock, about the size of a bus, they say, came streaking across the sky and struck the Earth. And the force of the impact, when it finally hit, which is shattered glass from miles away, and it left the poor Russian people who lived near it and who saw it and who felt it, fearing that the world was coming to an end. The news reports were just full of that sentiment, thinking that the world was ending. It reminded me of a story about the Apollo launches from back in the 70s that I'd seen, and I looked it up, and I've got it here. Jacob Needleman attended one of those launches, and this is what he said about it. He said, "I was an observer at the launch of Apollo 17 in 1975. It was a night launch, and there were hundreds of cynical reporters all over the lawn, drinking beer, wisecracking, and waiting for this 35-story-high rocket to take off. The countdown came, and the launch, and then came the launch. The first thing you see is this extraordinary orange light, which is just at the limit of what you can bear to look at. Everything is illuminated with this light. Then comes this thing slowly rising in total silence because it takes a few seconds for the sound to come across to where you are. Then you hear a whoosh and a hmm, and it enters right through you. You can see jaws dropping around you. The sense of wonder fills everyone in the whole place as this thing goes up and up. Then the first stage ignites, and this beautiful blue flame appears. It becomes like a star, but you realize there are humans on it. And then it breaks away, and there's total silence. After a bit, people get up quietly, helping each other. They are kind. They open doors. They look at one another, speaking quietly and interestedly. These were suddenly moral people because the sense of wonder, the experience of wonder, has made them moral." I thought that was an interesting take on that. The Apostle Paul was filled with a similar but longer-lasting sense of wonder at the glory of Christ. And the stark reality of Christ's glory led him to constantly appeal to the Christians of his generation to keep their focus on heavenly virtues and on heavenly goals. Open your Bibles with me to what was our scripture reading from Philippians chapter 3 this morning. I am glasses free today. Philippians 3, verse 18. The apostle says, "For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame." Can I borrow some glasses? I'm sorry, I thought I could handle that, and I just can't quite.
I'll just read it for you.
Thank you. Oh, we had that. Thank you. You know, there's something special that we missed Charles just reminded me, so I'm going to stop right here because I don't want to forget this. And that was listed in the bulletin. We have new members joining the church, so we'll just pause for just a moment just because I don't want to miss this. Salvador and Inez, and Yvonne, I believe, as well. Did we have it? We did. We did Salvador and Inez, and Ivan as well, and Yvonne. Would you folks stand up where you are? Guyans have been a great part of our church family here, and we're glad that we finally have your memberships. There's Yvonne. Okay, don't be bashful. Ladies and gentlemen, they've asked that their membership be transferred into our congregation. What's your pleasure regarding that? It's my move. Is there a second? All in favor say amen.
Amen.
I'm going to bring this to you. And Charles, you can come and greet me, help me as well. We're so very happy. I'm sorry I missed that at the beginning. God bless you, everyone. You can type down. I forget. God bless you. Thank you. Now with some revised strength here. Whoa. Down a little bit. I'm going to start again there. Philippians 3, verse 18. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Heaven. The apostle reminds us we eagerly await a Savior from there. That's our focus, our studies. Even on our studies in Daniel and Revelation, it's our focus. It's what we're looking for, that our Savior would come. I know it's not always easy for us to keep our enthusiasm up, thinking about Christ's return the way we would like it to be, because earthly things jump up and they demand our attention. But our lives are so much better if we can keep at least one eye on the goal. When I was a small boy, my father, who was a deputy sheriff, was tasked with traveling to Kentucky to retrieve a man who had been arrested there because he was wanted on charges here back in California. And so the sheriff sent he and my mother in a car to drive back to Kentucky to pick this fellow up, this prisoner, and to bring him back. While they were away, I was supposed to be staying at my grandmother's house, my grandparents. And that was fine by me. I always loved it at grandma's house. Every morning you'd get up, she'd make any kind of breakfast you want. She had a huge field in the back behind her house with these trees and ditches and everything a boy could want. And at nighttime, she had an enormous bathtub, one of those old-fashioned kind, the big white ones with the feet, you know, and a kind of a high in the back. You could slide down and, you know, just great fun. And then after that, it's pajamas, lying on the couch with your head in grandma's lap, watching TV with her and grandpa, and she had those long fingernails, you know, just scratch my back, you know, with it. Oh, yeah, I tell you, just makes you melt. And she'd even bought me a G.I. Joe, you know, to come to play with while I was there at her house. So mom and dad, you know, when they're leaving, it's like, stay away as long as you want, you know. But you know, as time went on, as the days went by, that feeling started to fade. And day by day, my desire to see my mother and my father grew and grew. At this point in my life now, it seems that as my life continues, my desire, I guess, my desire is growing more and more to see Christ and to see everything here on this earth put right. And no matter what else happens when Christ returns, whether I go or whether I stay, that surely will take place. And that I'm grateful for, that everything will be put right. It needs to be, doesn't it? There's a place where the trail of man divides through the mist of earthborn days, where the infinite mind of God decides and directs who goes and who stays. Somewhere we meet in this earthly span for a purpose that heaven knows. And bundled in that heavenly plan, one stays, another goes. Whenever we consider the day of the Lord, the day that Christ returns to this earth, there is always an element of judgment in the consideration. From ancient times to this day, the day of the Lord looms large in our thoughts. The Lord has seen to this. Through his prophets in every age, he's drawn that to their attention to try to keep that before them. Look at an example of this in the book of Malachi in the Old Testament there, just before Matthew. Malachi, the second chapter. In my Bible, this section is marked off as the day of judgment. Malachi 2, verse 17. It says there, "You have wearied the Lord with your words." How have we wearied you, you asked? By saying, "All who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he's pleased with them." Or, "Where is the God of justice?" It is no different in our age than it was then. All around us, even amongst us, are voices that are calling us to accept and even exalt those who blatantly live their lives in ways that the Lord explicitly condemns. The voices tell us if we do not hold up these people who refuse to submit their lives to God's will, and that we declare that these people are, quote, good in the eyes of the Lord, then we are bigots and we are a shame to Christianity and to humanity. You have wearied the Lord with your words by saying, "All who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with them." Or, "Where is the God of justice?" Where is the God of justice? Or, "Will there be a reckoning for such things?" Well, the answer comes right away here in chapter 3. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. "See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty." This is a dual prophecy. The first application of it came with John the Baptist and with Jesus. John the Baptist was the messenger that prepared the way for Jesus. And Christ certainly did come to the temple in Jerusalem with a message of righteousness. But there is also a secondary and more important application here, because after his resurrection, Christ ascended to his Father's side in the heavenly temple, which the earthly temple was just a model, just a shadow to represent what was actually happening in heaven. And there he became our high priest. And when he is finished there in that role, he returns to this earth once again as king and as judge. The next few verses here continue this double application of Christ's glory when he's in our presence. Look at chapter 3 there, verse 2. "But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. And now here the voice changes. The Lord himself is the one who speaks. Verse 5. So I will come near to you for judgment. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless and deprive aliens of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? How are we to return? I think most of us know that. We know how to turn to the Lord because the Holy Spirit prods us and he keeps pulling us back, drawing us back towards Christ. But the Lord has not been slack in explaining how it is that we ought to be living and how we do that, how we live out our faith. The Apostle Paul, again, he kept this clearly before his own parishioners. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he speaks to this very plainly, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. He says, but since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now I ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. In Ireland, there's a sweet old story of an Irish lamplighter who back in the days when the streets of Dublin were lit with gas lampposts would go around in the late afternoon and light them all. And then in the very early morning, follow the same route and go and put each lamp out, snuff them out. A reporter once came across one of these lamplighters in the very early morning hours. It was still dark out. As this lamplighter was going about his business, going about his rounds, and as he moved down the sidewalk, he was singing to himself, just loud enough for a person to hear from a few feet away. The reporter went up to him and he said, sir, may I have a word? You may, he replied. You seem like a man who's quite happy in his work. Is that so? It is, the lamplighter said. And the reporter asked why that was. And in his reply, the lamplighter said, because everything, though everything behind me is dark, As I go, only the glory of the morning lies before me. And we eagerly await a Savior from there. Let's pray. Precious Father, Lord, we pray that you would fill our hearts with an expectancy of your coming. Cheer us, Lord. Lift us, Lord. Draw us to you. Lord, the world is in trouble, and we pray that you would please come to us soon and set things right. Set us right. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.